Joining me in studio are Louise Byrne, political correspondent for the Irish Daily Mirror, Philip Ryan, political editor with Independent Newspapers, Harry McGee, political correspondent for the Irish Times, and from Waterford, Jennifer Kavanagh, lecturer in law at the South East Technological University. Well, it's been a long time coming. It's widely predicted to be a tweak rather than an overhaul, but by this time on Saturday, it'll be celebratory drinks that will flow for some, and for others, it'll be bitter tears. One big switcheroo at the top and some modest sidestepping maybe at other levels. The reshuffle cometh, Louise.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've all been waiting for this for 2.5 years. And I think after the budget, we were all saying, oh, now we have the reshuffle to look forward to, the reshuffle to look forward to. And it just seems that it's going to be very boring. One minister said to me the other day, I think you'll be surprised how few changes there are. And I actually said, well, I think I'd be more surprised if there were a load of changes, to be honest. So 2 days away, a lot of questions still to be answered, I think.
Let's deal with the personal resentment first, Harry. Giving up your weekend to cover a reshuffle when no real reshuffle happens.
Bitter me. It's going to take up all day. Saturday is going to be a long day and many speeches, some of them worthy. I'd say some of them biting. It'll be interesting to see if Sinn Féin nominate Mary Lou MacDonald as Taoiseach during the morning, just to kind of try to burnish their sense that she is the real Taoiseach or the Taoiseach Monke. But other than that, it's going to be pro forma. It'll be a young TD plucked out of obscurity to deliver the nomination address, and then somebody will second the new Taoiseach, and then we go through the whole procession of people jumping into their mercs to go up to Áras na n-Uachtaráin to get their seals of office, the team photograph, and then during the afternoon the reshuffle or the mini shuffle will take place. I don't think there'll be too many deck chairs moved around on that particular Titanic over the course of the weekend.
Philip, will you have vast tracts of padding prose on hand to cut and paste into whatever article you're writing?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was actually even sent some shapes today for the article that was going to be in the Sunday Independent, like a breakdown of the various ministers, and I was kind of half thinking, well, I just start writing them up now and just say, like, they're going to be in there and the copy's done for Saturday. But look, I don't think there's ever been a reshuffle that there wasn't some form of fallout from it. Like, even if they're going to say, like, oh, it's going to be easy and it's going to be, no one's going to lose out, I can't see that happening. I think everything has just been cards very close to the chest, and the decisions will be made tomorrow, possibly on the big decision, the number one decision that everything kind of rotates around is what's Micheál Martin going to do? Is he going to take foreign affairs, as is kind of widely predicted, or is he going to go somewhere else? Does he want a new department? Would he like justice? Would he like social protection? What would he like? But everything kind of rotates then around that. Once he has that decision in place, then Leo Varadkar can start making his decisions around whether it's going to be very straightforward stuff. You have Simon Coveney just takes over his role in Enterprise, and the Taoiseach just goes on to be the Taoiseach, and everything else pretty much stays the same. But is that what there's a couple of things at hand there. Like, politicians get involved in politics to promote themselves and to move up the chain, and they're ambitious people by their nature. So if
they would argue probably to achieve change, but anyway.
Yeah, but that's not the reality. But they want to move up the ladder, and if they see a situation whereby that very much the cabinet of the day is pulling up the ladder behind them, and that there is no room for movement if you're a Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael backbench TD. And I'm not sure that'll go down well.
Jennifer, if people are left in place, will they perhaps resent being left in place? Might there be an opportunity of an escape hatch and reshuffle which people will feel they're being denied?
I completely agree, because if you look at, say, housing and health, which will obviously be the biggest issues come the next general election, that you might be inclined to say, well, why are Fianna Fáil looking to hang on to ministries that they will take the most flak on? So, look, any sort of change does tend to ruffle feathers. The most minute bit of change can extraordinarily disappoint some people. But it's almost a case of things seem to be working as they should be, so let's keep moving the way that we're moving.
Louise, there are some names that are widely speculated are for the door.
Yeah, and they, to be honest, they mostly seem to be junior ministers. Now, how interested anyone is in junior ministries, I don't know. And I mean that with no offence to junior ministries. I don't really think anyone cares too much about who goes or who stays there. It's been suggested that Josepha Madigan, she's Fine Gael, junior minister in the Department of Education, widely suggested that she's gone. Same with Colin Brophy, also Fine Gael, junior minister in the Department of Foreign Affairs. Frankie Feehan, another Fine Gaeler, suggested that he might go as well. So mostly the Fine Gael junior ministers, there seems to be a lot that are going to be dropped. I think the big question is as well, will Hildegard Nocton be kept at Cabinet? She is the super junior minister, the Fine Gael super junior minister, and she's technically in that position, she should take over the chief whip position from Jack Chambers. But a lot of people now questioning whether that is the role for her, whether you bring up someone like Brendan Griffin, do you promote them? Do you look at someone like Jennifer Kyle McNeil, who has performed really well since she was elected 2.5 years ago? Do you bring up Damien English? He's another one that's being mentioned, Peter Burke. So that's going to be the main question, I think. And I think that's going to be Leo Varadkar's main headache, is trying to figure out who puts into the chief whip position.
And we have a productivity test from Leo Varadkar. Who's even going to run the next time before he makes his decision, Harry, on the reshuffle?
Yeah, well, that's a kind of a loyalty test, really, or a stability test. I mean, he doesn't really want ministers or office holders who are going to collect their P45 at the end of the next term and kind of wander off into the...
Who does he have in mind?
Well, I think there may be a few TDs who have been there quite a long time, who are ministers, who are office holders, who might decide that the time has come for them to call it a day. So what he wants to ensure is that anyone who's a minister will have a electability, that they will be able to stand in the next election and be judged according to their own lights. He thinks it would be a waste of time and resources if somebody becomes a minister and then promptly resigns ahead of the next election. He thinks it's better, you know, that his ministers are those that will be trying to salvage as many seats as possible for Fine Gael. See, the two big parties in government are, you know, usually parties coming out of government lose seats, you know, and I know there's been a huge churn in Irish politics over the last decade, and it's a far more complicated scenario than it was in the past. But, I mean, the slide rule, the rule of thumb really is that the parties do lose seats. So the name of the game for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in 2.5 years' time, we're at half-time in this particular game, you know, are they playing a scoreless draw, or are they 1-0 or 2-0 down, is that they have to come and get at least a draw by the time of the next election. So they have to maximise any chance of electability they have. So I can understand Leo Varadkar's logic in telling ministers and office holders that if they're going to stay in the job, they're going to have to put their names on the ballot sheet in 2 years' time, 2.5 years' time.
Philip, any surprise names? Louise ran through a number of names there, but are there any names that have surprised you that might be for elevation or not?
But picking up on Harry's point and what we're talking about, this idea that Leo Varadkar is going to come to you and knock on or bring you to his office and say, are you running in the next general election? The first name that jumped to my head when I saw that coming from the parliamentary party meeting was Pascal Donoghue. Like, he's widely speculated of, and it's always thought that he's kind of at his tether with national politics and he wants to move on to something bigger and better. And there was all sorts of rumours around the Euro group and why Leo Varadkar was insisting on pushing him for the Euro group. Was it to be seen to be ultra loyal in case there was a decision had to be made later in the year, around this time, obviously, about his future? So, look, Pascal Donoghue is going to have to sit down and say, like, look, I'm going to run, or he's not going to run, and maybe we'll have a new public expenditure minister.
Yeah, would Pascal have leadership ambitions, though, as well, Philip?
I don't think so.
Do you not think so?
No.
I think he may have harbour leadership ambitions.
He denies
the one that makes the most
they
sense.
They all deny it.
He would be the one that makes the most sense, though. He's been there long. He's well-liked in some cohorts of the party, not so much in other cohorts for various different reasons, but he would be one of the ones that would make the most sense. He's well-liked by the public as well.
Jennifer, the Greens are keen to stay put, and maybe not for reasons of the psychology of sunk costs that you mentioned with some of the Fianna Fáil portfolios.
Yeah, well, the word seems to be that the Greens are happy where they are and they want to stay where they are. But one of the other things that would probably be in Leo Varadkar's consideration when looking at the ministers and junior ministers is criticism that he's had before about the balance of women taking portfolios. So that's definitely something that I would be looking out for, to see that there is more of an attempt to have that balance there than there has been in previous cabinets.
Anybody you think or you'd like to see elevated?
Well, one person that does stick out from the Fine Gael ranks would be, as Louise already said, Jennifer Karen McNeill. She's been on practically nearly every show, bringing out the Fine Gael line and things like that, that sort of loyalty. You would be expecting to see that getting rewarded somewhere.
Right. In managing the ranks of the disappointed, though, Louise, after the fact, no matter how unambitious people think this reshuffle is going to be, it still provides people with an excuse to mutter. And it seems that, at least for the moment, the muttering could be in Fianna Fáil as Micheál Martin moves to the office of Taoiseach and is no longer a star in the Ascendant.
And I think that is one of the reasons why a lot of people are pushing the idea that he should go to Foreign Affairs. Someone in Fianna Fáil said to me earlier, you know, if he doesn't have a top office like that, well then what's the point of Fianna Fáil being in government? We don't have any of the top portfolios, which I don't know what that says about their other ministers. I mean, you've housing and health there, two of the most important, but how and ever. So I think that is why they are pushing for Micheál Martin to go to Foreign Affairs. Now, one of the other reasons they could be pushing for Micheál Martin to go to Foreign Affairs is to get him out of the country so that they can talk about him behind his back and perhaps plot, who knows.
I think they manage well enough when he's in the country.
Well, this is true, but I mean, they always seem to do better when he was in the Ukraine. They had a clandestine meeting, so they can have more of them if he's not here, so that could be the other reason they want him there.
He can't be that worried, Harry, though, can he? There isn't any obvious candidate.
No, not at the moment. I mean, when Micheál Martin became leader of Fianna Fáil, they said he'd become the first leader of Fianna Fáil never to become Taoiseach. And he defied the critics that said the party was gone. Now, he brought the party back to a certain extent, but it's kind of, he's marched it back down the hill a little bit since then. But then when he came into office, I mean, every Fianna Fáil backbencher that I spoke to in 2020 was saying that Micheál would be gone by the time Leo Varadkar became Taoiseach. And lo and behold, Micheál is still there and he could even lead. I don't think that's likely, but he could conceivably lead Fianna Fáil into the next election. And there isn't an identifiable candidate. You know, there's not a ready-made successor there. If you look at Fine Gael, there are six or seven people you could identify as possible successors to Leo Varadkar.
Which leads us neatly on to the next question, yeah. Philip. Should Leo Varadkar be worried then?
Strangely, I don't think he has anything to worry about. And because I think for almost maybe a slightly different reason in that, like, that a lot of the people that you would consider to be ambitious, that they're not really making any inroads in that sense. Like, they're not really putting themselves forward. No one ever criticizes him. He is this, like, deity within the party that even when he does do something wrong, there's lots of controversy, he attracts controversy all the time, but no one ever speaks up, no one ever says anything. In Fianna Fáil, it's a very different story, that when there is various issues coming down the line, there's always people there to speak up and say, like, look, this is a problem and we need to do this, that and the other to make it better. But the one thing that just what you were discussing there about Micheál Martin, I found interesting, and it was a point made by Barry Cowan earlier in the week, in asking for Micheál Martin to appoint at least a deputy leader and to give the backbenches a little bit of a boost in the reshuffle, to get rid of this narrative that
new
that
aim and O'Queeve.
No, but to get rid of this narrative that we were just talking about, that there's no talent in Fianna Fáil, because that's the making of Micheál Martin has made that situation by not promoting people and always making everything centred on himself, even throughout with various departments, like housing comes through him, housing memos come through the Department of Taoiseach, health memos come through the Department of Taoiseach during the pandemic. So he very much takes on a lot of the work himself and doesn't give others the opportunity, I would say.
All right, Jennifer, seeing as we're dishing out the grounds for worries amongst leaders, finally to Eamon Ryan before we leave the issue of worry here. He has ruled over a divided house, but the Greens don't seem to be all that bothered. They seem to manage it in their own green way.
Yeah, I think that the early ructions that broke out when they went into government, that pretty much settled the issue, and those who would not be of Eamon Ryan's camp have either left or just gone silent. But just going back to the Micheál Martin situation for one second, I think the best thing that happened for Micheál Martin was possibly the worst thing that happened to Fianna Fáil last year, and that was their terrible result in the Dublin Base Out by-election. That if Jim O'Callaghan had managed to, as Director of Elections there, managed to get a much bigger vote in, Micheál Martin would be on much more tender hooks. But all the party leaders do seem to be fairly happy in their position at the moment, and it just comes down to the fact that there is no major person who is in the wings waiting to swoop in on any mistake that comes in for either of the three leaders at the moment.
All right. Well, if any TDs indeed or senators want to text us on 51551 and dissent from any of that, they're more than welcome to. We're good for reading out texts and tweets, etc. here.